Today on Roadmap to Success with Pastor Neil.
God has stated his plan, but you would understand that his plan is progressive. It doesn't happen overnight. It goes through a process, and the child of God must understand the process. The reason being, if you don't understand God's processes, you abort the process.
In this week's lesson, Pastor Neil continues exploring Our Divine Next, a message centered on understanding God's progressive plan for our lives. As believers, we often wrestle with the question, if God has a plan for us, why aren't we seeing it unfold? The answer, Pastor Neil explains, lies in the nature of God's revelation. It happens gradually, not all at once. God's will and purpose are unveiled step by step, requiring faith, obedience, and action on our part. Each step demands courage as we confront strategic battles that seek to hinder our progress. Ultimately, our divine next requires us to actively participate in God's unfolding plan. As we step out in faith, trusting in His progressive revelation, we will overcome challenges and step into the fullness of His purpose for our lives. Let's listen to Pastor Neil in this week's lesson, Our Divine Next, Part 2.
So our focus today is that God has a plan, but God's plan is progressive. God's plan is?
Progressive.
Come on, say that with me. God's plan is?
Progressive.
What does it mean when we say that God's plan is progressive? It means that God reveals His will and purpose to us gradually over time. God reveals His will and purpose for our lives gradually over time rather than all at once. Somebody heard that God is going to bless them. They assume that tomorrow they will have the blessing. You're kidding yourself. God never works in your time. He has His time, and He's going to do things in piecemeal. Amen. So today and then next week, I'll be looking at the Israelites when they were in the promised land and then when they were in Babylon. In Babylon, the prophets told them, the prophet Hanani, I'll deal with that lesson next week. He told the people, in 2 years, you are going back. Then God, through the prophet Jeremiah, says, in 70 years before you go back. God's next does not mean you will always see nice things, but God will make sure you end up where He wants you to be. Are you here with me today? So I want you to really study with me this morning as we get into what happened to the children of Israel when they were in Egypt. The life of the Israelites in Egypt mimics the life of every believer. The scripture says, for 40 years, they were in the wilderness. 38 years, they were running in circles. Only 2 years, they made progress. And some of us, we've been running in circles for the last, you know, how many years? The more you disobey God, the more you run in. Come on, talk to me. The more you disobey God, the more you run in. So why are you allowing people to deceive you? If you listen to the Lord, you're going to make progress. So stop disobeying Him. Amen. So go with me to the book of Exodus, chapter 23, and we're going to pack the rest of the... I'll study there. Exodus 23. And we will start from verses 20 to 31, but I'll read 31, and then we'll go back to 20 and then start reading. And I want you all to read the verse 31 with me. Exodus chapter 23, verse 31. Are you ready? Exodus 23, 31. If you can read with me, shall we? Everybody, go. Your borders. From the Red Sea to the Mediterranean Sea, and from the desert to the Euphrates River. And I will give into your hands the people who live in the land, and you will drive them out before you. Ain't that nice? Is it that nice? God is promising them. He says, I will establish your borders from the Red Sea to the Mediterranean Sea. You see, if a country is bordered by the sea, it tells you that there is going to be some trade routes. So God is talking about how that some economic activity is going to take place to bring progress to the place. I will establish your borders from the Red Sea to the Mediterranean Sea and from the desert to the river Euphrates. And I will give into your hands the people who live in the land. In other words, I'm going to give you a land that does not belong to you, but the people who live there, you'll be able to put them out. And it says, and you will drive them out before you. The problem is that God has stated his plan, but you would understand that his plan is progressive. It doesn't happen overnight. It goes through a process. And the child of God must understand the process. The reason being, if you don't understand God's processes, you abort the process. You give up on it really quick. And many Christians are giving up. Sometimes we have married people we are not supposed to marry because you aborted the plan with the other one. You looked at them, they didn't have cooler shape. I don't like this one. So you aborted the process. Or you kept going to the same person and the person kept bouncing you. God's plan for you is progressive. I realize all of you are looking at my face. What is he about to say? We're going to go through the word of God together. God's plan for you and me, they are what? Progressive. They don't happen overnight. So God is telling Israel, hey guys, I'm going to establish you. You will be bordered by the sea. Notice he mentions three bodies of waters. He talks about the Euphrates River, the same river that was in the Garden of Eden. In fact, it is proven that wherever the Euphrates River goes, things begin to bloom. So God is saying, listen, I'm going to bring you into a place. It is a land flowing with milk and honey. I will establish you. But how is he going to do that? Go to verse 20. Let's start reading now. Are you here with me?
Yes.
See, I am sending an angel ahead of you to guide you along the way and to bring you to the place I have prepared. So God is saying, listen, you're not going to just bump your head. I'm going to send an angel to go with you. Verse 21, pay attention to him and listen to what he says. Do not rebel against him. He will not forgive your rebellion. So God is reminding the people, you've been very rebellious. With me, God, I am patient, but I am now going to send an angel. Angels, they don't have time. You mess around, they'll break your hip. You remember Jacob, right? You mess around, they'll make you mute. You remember Zachariah? So God is saying, don't make him angry, because if you do, he's not going to forgive you. Verse 22, if you listen carefully to what he says and do all that I say, I will be an enemy to your enemies. This is the one we like, don't you? I will be an enemy to your enemies, and I will oppose those who oppose you. My angel will go ahead of you and bring you into the land of the, please underline them, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I will wipe them out. In other words, God is saying, what I'm about to give to you already belongs to somebody else. When I began this ministry, people moved from other churches and came here. And then when they began this, people will move from here and go there. God is going to always take from somebody and give it to you. You must understand the process. And instead of you sitting there and being angry, he has a plan, but the plan is progressive. It has parts to it. When you are praying, God, promote me at my place of work, don't you think somebody has to be demoted for you to be there? So the same prayer you prayed, somebody is also praying the same prayer. The very seat you are occupied, somebody is about. I want you to understand how God does things. What verse were we? 23, let me read it again. It said, my angel will go ahead of you and bring you into the land of the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I will wipe them out. Do not bow down before their gods or worship them or follow their practices. You must demolish them and break their sacred stones to pieces. Verse 25, worship the Lord your God, and his blessing will be on your food and water, and I will take away sicknesses from among you. What verse are we? Good. I'm trying to make sure you are paying attention. And none will miscarry or be barren in your land. And I will give you a full lifespan. In other words, you will live long. I will send my terror ahead of you and throw into confusion every nation you encounter. Wow. I will make all your enemies turn their backs and run. I will send, come on, I think that's what modern day people like, don't you? I will send the hundred ahead of you to drive the Hivites, the Canaanites, and the Hittites out of your way. But I will not drive them out. This is what I wanted you to pay attention to. But I will not drive them out in a single year, because the land will become more desolate and the wild animals too numerous for you. Underline, circle, highlight that, verse 29. And verse 30, can you all read with me verse 30? Ready? Read. It says, little by little, I will drive them out before you until you have increased enough to take possession of the little by little. So if you began a business today, don't rush to get a business card. God will increase you little by little. Verse 29 says, be careful because the land will be too big. The strong and mighty, the one you are about to move away, they will swallow you. Slow down. Verse 31, I will establish your borders from the Red Sea to the Mediterranean Sea and from the desert to the Euphrates River, and I will give into your hands the people who live in the land, and you will drive them out from before you. Amen. There are three processes that God would take us through in order to bring his plan to pass in our lives. The first one is that God will give us a supernatural backing. Supernatural what? Backing. Whenever you want to allow God to bring you into your divine next, you must expect a supernatural what? Backing. Look at verse 27. Let's read it again. Exodus 23, verse 27. He says, I will send my terror. Somebody say, I will. Then it says, I will make all your enemies. So you see that it is God himself making the promise, I'm going to do this. I will do that. And I will do that for you. Do you see it? Why is this necessary? Because too often, God's promises seem far-fetched. And he has to step in to begin the process for you. Amen. And in the context in which we are reading these words, you must understand that the Israelites were slaves. They've been slaves for how many years? 400 years. And then you are telling them that go and fight. They are not battle ready. Then he's telling them, go and outwit people. Later on, if I start opening your eyes to the kinds of people who are living in the place, you will notice, for example, that the Hittites were warriors. So there is absolutely no way the Israelites can fight them. So God says, I am going to begin the process. Everybody say, God is going to begin the process. The problem is that when God begins the process, most of us fold our arms and we wait on him to do everything. God doesn't do that. If you are in a relationship and the relationship is dying, after prayer, do something on purpose to change things. Don't wait to have the default. Hello? Did you hear what I just said? You go to work late, but praying that God will some way, somehow change the minds of your supervisors. You got to be kidding me. And if you allow me, I will simply say you are nuts. Pastor, did you just say that to me? Yes, I did. You need to wake up. Get to work on time. Don't clock out when you are not supposed to clock out. Maybe you're looking at my face. Maybe I can speak to the wall. So God says, My plan for you is progressive, but it begins with me stepping in and starting the process. Amen. The second thing we find is that he wants us to fight strategic battles. Strategic battles. Now, let's pick up verse 28. We'll read 28, then we'll go back and read 23. Are you in Exodus 23? Look at verse 28. Can we all read together? Ready? Read. I will send the hornet ahead of you to drive the Hivites, the Canaanites, and the Hittites out of your way. Verse 23. An angel will go ahead of you, and I will bring you into the land of the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I will wipe them out. There's a problem. In verse 23, God says, I am bringing you into a land of six nations. But in verse 28, now he tells them, I am only going to help you deal with three of them. Did you see that? Go back to verse 28. So God says, there are battles you don't need to fight. You must be tactical. You must be strategic. Some of us, we fight any and every battle presented to us. Because some battles are meant to distract you. You are not meant to fight them. In my course of 20 years here, I have had all kinds of battles. And there are some I behave as if I have not seen it. And there are people who will laugh and think they were powerful. But they are not battles I am not meant to fight. God says, I will do my path. But there is a part you play. So you must be strategic in your... Let me ask all of you. Monday morning, tomorrow, you're on the beltway. You're going to work. And somebody is doing aggressive driving and they cut in front of you. And then when you honk your horn, they give you a middle finger. Would you just chase them, then corner them, get out, and want a fight? Anybody? Some people will. That is what I call stupid battles. They are not important because you are on the clock. You are trying to get to work, and the person giving you a middle finger, even though it hurts, it doesn't really matter. Christians like fighting unnecessary battles. Sometimes they just want to show, it is me. May the Lord have mercy on. God is saying, you are in the land of the Amorites, the Jebusites, the Canaanites, but you are supposed to fight only the Hivites, the Canaanites, and the Hittites. Strategic battles. Somebody say strategic battles. What are strategic battles? Strategic battles are battles that produce results. And they are strategic to our destiny. Some battles are not worth your fight. In fact, there are people I have ignored over years. No matter what they did, I ignore them. Why? Because whatever they are doing has nothing to do with my destiny. And I've had people come to me, can you do something about that one? Can you say something to this one? And I said, they are not worth my time. It doesn't mean I disrespect them. It simply means that I understand who I am, where I am going, and based on the path that God has set for me in his plan, some people don't fit in the plan. In fact, a New Testament way of looking at this is that whenever there were miracles, Christians and the way we misinterpret scripture, whenever you see miracles, miracles were performed by Jesus so that it was like he is about to bring salvation to a place. And then the very things he sees become an impediment. So he performs a miracle to take that impediment away so people can receive him. So we are not supposed to pray for miracles. Because if God knows you are bringing salvation to a place, he will perform a miracle to take that thing away so that people can receive him. I want you to turn to the person sitting next to you and say to them, from today, can you stop fighting unnecessary battles. We fight. So you are fighting with this one, fighting with that one, fighting with this one, and you are bitter all the time. You're one human being. Choose the battles. Now, I'm going to go deep into this. Is it okay if I work on this? So go back to verse 28. Let's read verse 28 again, please. Now we're going to delve into strategic battles. They are battles that produce results. They are battles because if it's a strategic battle, God will give results because he knows that one is related to your destiny. The reason for which we are not seeing a lot of results is because we are fighting battles we are not meant to fight. We are wasting our energy. Okay, let's read. It says, I will send a hornet ahead of you and drive out the Hivites and Canaanites and... So who are the Hivites? The Hivites were the dwellers of the low places. In the land of Canaan, the Hivites were people who lived in the valleys. They are symbolic of the battles that you will have to fight against people who have a low thinking mentality and they will bring you down. That battle you must fight, God is saying. In fact, if you read the book of Exodus, God told the people of Israel, he says, I have given them a promise about the promised land. But this people, if I don't take them the long route, when they see war, they will change their mind. Notice what God is saying. He says, as powerful as my promise is, their mind is more powerful than my promise. What is God saying? That until the mind is controlled, God can give you promises and none of them will come to pass. And it's not because a demon is fighting you. It is because your head is not in its right place. And God is saying, fight strategic battles. I am going to start the stuff for you. But in your fight, fight the Hivites. Don't fight the Jebusites. Don't fight the Amorites. They are not worth your energy. And the truth is, you can't fight all of them. So he's going to fight some of them. And now he says, fight the Hivites, the dwellers of the low places. Everybody say the dwellers of the low places. Those who seek to limit you and draw you to your lower level. I call them those who have a crab mentality. For you to rise, come down so we all stay here. Have you met people like that before? You see, the same amount of energy you can use to pull somebody down. Can't you use the same energy to rise? You can use the same energy. And God is saying, in your strategic battles, you must deal with the mindsets of pulling that pulls you down. Because sometimes it is not people, sometimes it is you. Can we leave people alone and let me talk to you? Sometimes it is not people, sometimes it is. Say it that way, me. Sometimes it is not people, sometimes it is. I was once visited by somebody who wanted counseling. And then when this person came, that was a she. She said, Pastor, I think I'm experiencing a generational curse. And I said, okay. I said, fill me in. He said, I started work at this place, I was fired. Started work at a second place, I was fired. In fact, in a space of 6 months, I've been fired 2 times. And now I'm on my third job. And it's only 1 month in. And I know the demons from my father's side. Normally people will say the demons from their mother's side. So if the person starts from their father's side, that means the demon ain't no cheap demon. He said, can we fast and pray? Oh, Lord, what kind of work did I choose? Every day I have to fast for someone. So after the person was done, I said, okay. See, I could ask straightforward questions, but church members, we had some way. So I have to ask, can you close your eyes and let's pray? And act as if I'm hearing from God. But actually, the next things I'm about to ask is pure common sense. But if I start from pure common sense, they will tell me I'm judging them. Oh, you will make us do things we are not supposed to do. So when we finished, I said, sister, tell me. When somebody does something to you and you don't like, how do you react? Oh, I tell them my peace of mind. I said, so if the person was your supervisor, what do you do? I said, I just put them in their place. I said, so if, for example, if Pastor did this, same thing. I said, Pastor, you know, out of due respect, but I have to tell you what I have to tell you. Now, by now, you all tell me what is the problem. She tells her mind. That is if you own the company. Somebody set up their company, you're going to go tell them your mind. You'll be fired. Do you agree? So I said, lady, I think that it is not your father's side, nor your mother's side. I think the real problem is your anger. Oh, Pastor, you think so? I said, yeah. I said, so here is the deliverance session we are going to have. I'm going to send you to a AAA class so you learn anger management. I know by now some of you say, but Pastor, you are not spiritual. Child, that is really spiritual. Because deliverance is not always by casting out demons. It is also by counseling some demons out. Amen. Guess what? She's kept the job for a very long time now. Because she realized you can't just go cursing people out. Especially when they are your supervisors. You will get fired. And don't say it is the demons from your father's side. The Hivites. Somebody say the Hivites. They seek to bring you down on the same level of low mentality. Today, I want you to bury this whole idea. Since most of you sitting in this room are of African descent, stop saying African time. Did you hear what I just said to you? Did you hear what I just said to you? Don't say African time. How many of you go to work based on African time? You tell me. See, you don't do that. Because you know you will get what? But when you are coming to the house of God, you do the same thing. All of a sudden, God has become African. And he must understand why you're late. God's plan is progressive. And he says you don't need to fight everyone. Fight the low mentality mindset. Amen. Secondly, he talks about fighting the Canaanites. The Canaanites were merchants. They were business people. And wherever there are merchants and business people, there are established structures. So this is the battle that represents a battle against established structures. Do you realize that anytime you begin to move into any arena, there are already established structures that can easily bring you down? It can intimidate you. So you don't feel like you have what it takes. The battle against the Canaanites is the battle against established structures, or what I call business establishments. You just began your little business. You call one person, I've got this new idea and I'm starting. Go get your painted before you talk. When I began this ministry, there were many pastors I knew. They'll call me, hey, we hear you are in Frederick. Are you starting a church? I said, no. Oh, you sure you are not going to do anything? I said, no. By the time they found out, I was already 2 months into it. So shutting me down won't work. Else the strong and mighty will shut you down before you begin. Instead of you standing there, I bind the demons. I began this and the devil is fighting. It's your big mouth that caused the problem. You must learn to wage the warfare against established. Notice I said established what? Structures. It's been established. And there are established structures in this country and everywhere in the world, not only in the business circles, but in any other place. There are established structures about bad marriage. There are established structures about bad financial dealings. Please. You must learn to fight those structures because God has his system.
Thank you for joining us on this spiritual encounter. Need more help? Text radio to 301-696-8555 or visit us on the web at covenantfamilychapel.org. You may also visit us at one of our in-person services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and discover the difference that the kingdom of God makes. Like up on social media, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram, all at Covenant One Family.